Please turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I want to speak this morning about Christ's excellent care. The excellent care of Jesus Christ for his people. It's possibly the best known passage of Scripture along with the Lord's Prayer. It's certainly one of the most beautiful passages, and it's a great comfort to many people, bringing peace and calm in distress. But why? Why is it like this? Well, this psalm is a wonderful personal account of the love and care of Jesus Christ. And that is why it is such a blessing and a comfort. And too often we can be academic. Too often we can present facts and maybe the ABC of the gospel. And I hope in one sense we present those things every time we preach. But this morning I want to present to you Jesus Christ himself. And may he be exalted, and may all here be drawn by his love and care to a true and living relationship with him. It's a psalm of David, you see, at the top. A psalm of David. David, the shepherd king. David, who had life experience before he came into the palace. He knew all about being a shepherd. But he also knew the Lord our God. And he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." That Lord there in capital letters is the Hebrew name for God that we so often anglicize as Jehovah. I am that I am, the everlasting God, the all-powerful. And it's Jesus Christ who tells us, as we've been seeing in John's Gospel, I am the good shepherd. Well, this song is all about him. And I thought it would be good, having considered John chapter 10, just to come back to Psalm 23 this morning. There is such confidence in David's words here. The Lord is my shepherd. This great God is mine. This great God is mine. What confidence, what comfort, that this, that he, the Almighty God, has a personal interest in me, and he knows me, and he cares for me, and he will lay down his life, his interests, everything he is for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a summary of the whole psalm in one line. Just there. I shall not want. And when Christ is our shepherd, we have all that we need. Of course, there is a very obvious point that we shouldn't miss. If Christ is our shepherd, then who are we? We read it earlier at the beginning of the service. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We must see ourselves as the Lord himself pictures us, as sheep in need of his care, and therefore commit ourselves to him. Isaiah 53, I'm sure we all know the words well. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And now David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, unfolds what it is that the shepherd does for his sheep, how he keeps them from want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why, he knows what is best for us. He plans the route ahead. The shepherd in Bible times would lead the sheep to green pastures, and he leads the way ahead, and he knows when it is the right time to lie down and when it is the right time to walk to lead the sheep. We tend to care for our bodies as best we can, and our bodies can get into a right old state. But who cares for our souls? Who cares for our souls? Well, He does. He does. We rest in the green pastures, those that are good for food. And He leads me beside the still waters. What a picture. The sheep are led. We must submit to His leading. We must follow Jesus Christ. He must be the authority in our lives. People say, oh, yes, I love Jesus. I worship Jesus. But they don't follow Jesus. They don't obey His commands. They refuse to hear His voice. He leads His sheep. He leads me beside the still waters. A wonderful picture the waters are. The greatest need of the body is water. And Christ Himself is the one who called Himself the source of living water. Living water that refreshes the thirsty soul. If you knew who it was, He said to the woman of Samaria, if you knew who it was who was speaking unto you, you would have asked, and I would have given you living water. The living water that refreshes the thirsty soul. And here it is. He restores my soul. This is the wonderful work of Christ, which no one else can do. The shepherd restores his sheep. He tends to his sheep all their days. And this is what Christ does for His people, restoring our souls. Firstly, of course, at conversion, when we turn from sin that first time, when we come to see our need of a Savior, and we trust in Christ, and we rest all our trust on Him. We depend upon Him utterly. We repent and believe in Him. He restores our souls. And then the work goes on. Day by day, He works in us and through us. He restores our souls as we turn to Him with all our failings and our troubles and our difficulties. As we travel life's pathway, He calls us aside from time to time. He restores us. He restores us again. He repairs our relationship with God. He forgives us our sins. He cleanses our conscience. He makes our soul to be as it ought to be. The wonderful work of Christ at Calvary, we cannot forget it. We must not. His faithfulness to us is so great. He restores my soul at conversion and afterward when we turn to Him again and again, day after day. He repairs us, restores us, equips us, enables us. And it says He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Once we are restored, we are led in good paths. In those days, old, well-worn paths were not necessarily good paths. There could be rutted tracks that were boggy and full of disease and not useful, not good at all for the sheep's health. Old rutted tracks, even today, can become repositories of infection and so on. No, the shepherd finds good paths, wholesome paths. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. We live for Christ. We desire to follow the paths that He sets for us. Why? Because our souls have been restored. Because we have a taste for something better. Because we have a taste for something divine. Because He has worked in us and He gives us this desire. It's not so we may be restored that He leads us in paths of righteousness. It's because we have been restored. And we love those paths. And we walk in them. And we say again with David, oh, how I love Thy law, it is my meditation all the day long. And he leads us in these paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because he is who he is. Because he has a plan. Because he has a purpose. Because he has a path for each one of us. Nothing is random. He is working his purpose out in us. He leads us because of who he is. And he works out that purpose in us for his name's sake, for his own glory. And he is worthy of all the glory and all the praise. He is the great creator. He is the great savior. He is the glorious God. He is worthy for his name's sake. And then we have verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Trials and troubles will come in the Christian life. Many of us find ourselves feeling that we walk through these things at the present time. We are promised no less. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good fear. I have overcome the world. These trials and troubles come. But the graphic language here speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. There is nothing here actually that talks about darkness at death. Rather, we need to recognize that a shadow is cast by the presence of light. A shadow is cast by bright light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Yet there is a shadow. There is a shadow in our lives, a shadow of fear. There is a natural fear of dying. I come across this line before. Someone says, well, are you afraid of dying? And the person responds, well, I don't know, I haven't tried it yet. But where there is fear of the unknown, there is this shadow. And there are many things in life that cause us to fear. Now, does the shepherd lead the sheep another way? Well, no. No, the implication is this. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He is leading me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's necessary to walk through this valley. God doesn't give us a free pass from troubles and trials. But he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. I will be with you. Your troubles to bless and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. My only design, your dross to consume and your gold to refine. I will be with you. I fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, he has restored our souls. He's done the work. He'll not abandon us to evil. He'll not leave us in the valley of the shadow of death. He will lead us through it. But what a dreadful place is that valley if you walk it alone. And who would ever want to do that? And why? When we have such a glorious shepherd, such a great God, and he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk with me. What a blessing. What a blessing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, here are the shepherd's tools. The tools, they have various functions. Tools to protect us. Yes, he fights for us. The good shepherd would fight with the bears and the lions and all those Middle Eastern animals of those days that would come against the sheep. The rod and the staff to fight, to protect, and to guide us. He steers us in the right way with his staff to rescue us. Why, the shepherd's crook, what is it for? It's to grab hold of the sheep that's fallen down a pit or has gone the wrong way and to pull it back from danger and to bring it back to safety. To discipline us when it's needed. To push us, to prod us into the right way so that we don't go the wrong way. Even sometimes discipline, it hurts us. It does. But what a comfort it is, because we know that the shepherd is there. He is there. He is with us. He hears our cries. He knows our needs. In all the trouble of life, he is there. He never deserts us. Who is there like this? Who is there who meets this description but Jesus Christ, our Lord? There is nobody like him. There is no one to compare to him. As I said before, the valley without the shepherd is a terrible place. How foolish it is to walk it alone, and how sad that all around us we're surrounded by people pressing on in the journey of life completely alone. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Here is a picture, a glorious picture. The shepherd feeds his sheep. And what a picture there is here of a table prepared. What preparation went into the feast that Christ lays before his people. We're coming to the Lord's table this morning. Do you comprehend? Do you know the preparation that has been made? Not by the ladies in the church who have put the table out and brought the bread in and poured the wine out. As much as we appreciate that very much, we do. Not that preparation, but the preparation that Jesus Christ has made. The price that he has paid. The humility which he exhibited. The condescension he displayed. The humiliation and the anguish and the pain. The table of the Lord is laid, we say. Well, it's always laid. It's always prepared. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How does it feel to be in the presence of Satan, who hates your soul and hates your life? To be in the presence of those who despise your faith? Well, surely that should bring us even closer to the shepherd. And this is the design that he has for us. Christianity, that is true faith, is not a secret. It should not be a secret. Let those who hate the gospel see what it means to us. And the Lord enables us. It says, you anoint my head with oil. Christ's people are holy. Holy unto him. They are set apart. They are special. They are anointed. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit given to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the blessing of God. This is the anointing with oil, the presence and the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And David says, my cup runs over. And we have to pause here for a second and just ask the question, does it? Does it really? The table is prepared. Our heads are anointed. We have been ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. We have been bought with a price. We have such privileges and blessings in Christ Jesus. Does our cup really run over? Is anybody aware of the joy and peace that is ours? Do we share it? Do we speak of it? Are we known for it? Are we just known as miseries and miserable people? People who are depressed and struggling? Are we overflowing Christians? Overflowing with joy? We should be. We have such a wonderful Saviour, such a glorious God, such a Shepherd. This little succession of psalms here is a wonderful trio. Psalm 22, Christ dies for us. Psalm 23, Christ reigns for us and cares for us. Psalm 24, Christ is coming back for us. They're wonderful psalms just to read through. What dangers the shepherd faced as he cared for the flock. No less as Christ cared for us in total disregard for his own life. We say we love the Lord. Where's the overflowing cup? Where is it? My cup runs over. And then these wonderful concluding words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I have heard tell of these two words. There's a shepherd. And maybe stretching the analogy a little bit, preachers have said, well, here are the sheepdogs. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. They follow me all the days of my life. What does this mean? Goodness is what we don't deserve given to us. Mercy, what we do deserve held back. Oh, the goodness and mercy of God. All his blessings for us, all his mercy. He pours it out upon us, and then all the punishment we deserve for our sin held back because Christ has borne it all. Goodness and mercy surely follow me all the days of my life. How will those days be spent? How will those days be spent? How many days will there be? We don't know that, but they are numbered. They are numbered. They are certain. They are specified. God has given to each one of us a number of days. And we say, all the days of my life. And they are numbered with this certainty that when they are complete, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are those who say that there is nothing about heaven in the Psalms. What nonsense that is. What nonsense that is. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We long to be there. We long to see the shepherd face to face. We long to be in that place where we will no longer need restoration because the work will be complete. We long to be in that kingdom yet to come when body and soul will be reunited, when we will have glorious resurrection bodies, no imperfection, absolutely as we are intended to be, no sickness, no tears, no crying, all these things coming to the children of God, a land of pure delight, no more need for the rod and the staff, no more fear of the valley of the shadow of death, no more evil, no more distress, pure delight to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, I commend to you Jesus Christ. His care for souls is beyond telling. If I as an under-shepherd, were 1% of the pastor, the great shepherd of your souls is. You would think that I was the greatest pastor who ever lived. I am not 1% of the care and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. His care is beyond telling. It's thoroughly undeserved. It's absolutely free, and it's excellent beyond words. Well, friends, my capacity vocally and in all ways this morning is limited, but may these few words go some way amongst us this morning toward exalting Christ. May you hear his voice and follow him. Can you sit and listen to this and yet go on without being able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? Don't do another thing until you can say it for yourself. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.